pray that as we look at these scriptures and as we pivot from loss to life, as we walk through this moment together, will you give us comfort? Will you give us strength? Will you give us joy? Will you give us peace? Will you give us grace? Will you give us the ability to take things in context? I lift up every saint that's here today, God. Thank you for the deep work that you're doing in every heart in this room, in every life in this room. And I pray today by your Holy Spirit, by your power, by your love, your grace, your presence, and your word, that each of us would come away strengthened with bread for today, living words in us from you. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. So as I said, Janelle, she preached last Sunday that the church is God's family and that our goal is to bring glory to God in everything that we do. And one of the ways that we believe that we must be faithful in is to expand God's family, that we as a family, we have been tasked with the ministry, the same ministry that Christ brought when he came, is to expand the family of God. In Genesis 1:26, we see the beginning. We see God, and God is together in a community as a family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's a conversation that happens amongst God, and they say, let's create light. Let's create all of these things. And at the end of that narrative, then they say, let us, this family, let us create mankind in our image, male and female. Let's create them in our image. And so from the very beginning, we see God expanding his own family by creating us. And then as Adam and Eve are brought forth, created in God's image as a part of the family, then he commissions them, be fruitful and multiply, rule over the earth, care for it, cultivate this garden of my goodness, of my family, and bring that into everything that you do. And of course, things go terribly wrong, as we know. Big messes happen. How many of you guys are alive and have big messes happening? Just me. Okay, me and Margene. Thank you, Margene. Okay, so it's part of the story. Stuff happens, but God doesn't change his mind about his family. He doesn't change his mind about what he wants to do and what he's called for in this earth is that family has an opportunity to grow, and anyone that would can be reconciled into the family. Amen? So he doesn't abandon the plan. And that's where we are now. So then Jesus comes, and he says, everything that you see me doing, this is what my Father is like. I want you to understand that when you look at me, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I love how Bill Johnson says, Jesus Christ is perfect theology. When you look at Jesus' life, when you look at how he interacts with the scriptures, the way that he treats the disciples, himself, the Father, his enemies, this is perfect theology. Did you guys know that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of many? Who are the many? Yeah, raise your hand. It is you. It is me. We are the many. Jesus Christ is our big brother, and he demonstrated and demonstrates to us what it is like to be a son of our good dad. We are part of this family. So when Jesus then ascends into heaven after he's died and he's risen again, he's ascending, and we know in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus tells the disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. As you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Holy Spirit, yep. Starts with, though, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are baptized into a family. This is the key thing that happens, is when we're reconciled to God, we are reconciled into that family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So here at Christ Center, this is not, by the way, our original stuff. we are gladly plagiarizing the Bible all the time, which is what every believer is supposed to do, following the scriptures. We're living out the scriptures together. So every Orthodox church that's following Christ with integrity is doing the same thing as us. And what are they doing? They're getting baptized into the family of God in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then seeking, and we are seeking, to make disciples of all nations. How do we do that? By inviting them into the kinship circle, into the family, to be reconciled with God. Every one of us, it says, like lost sheep, have gone astray. But what is God like? He leaves the 99, he goes after the one. And everybody that's in this room, if you're following Christ at this point, you were that one at one point. And God came for you, and he reconciled you back. He brought you back into his own family and said, come home, come home. Like the prodigal son. How many of us have been the prodigal son or daughter at some point, right? We went out there, I'm going to do it my way, on my own terms. But what happened? Eventually, as God continued to just seek you and speak to you and wait for you and pursue you, and at a certain point, you realized, you know what? What am I even doing? This is ridiculous. And we came home. And this is the ministry that you and I are called into, is the ministry of being a family and then inviting people into God's family. Can you receive that? So the church seeks to expand God's family. We're looking for those other people that don't belong yet. They don't know that they belong yet. And we're looking in the same way that the Father is looking, to see people reconciled to God. You know, in the area of evangelism and discipleship, I think that probably many of you, when you hear the word evangelism, I don't have to raise your hand, but I think a lot of us, we hear that word evangelism and you almost immediately think of like pressure. You know, like I gotta win someone to Jesus. I've gotta intellectually defeat someone into Jesus. We're going to take back our city for Jesus. This is like aggressive language. Okay, it's okay to use aggressive language in the right context, like with the enemy. He has been completely defeated. Satan has been completely defeated. When Jesus said, "It is finished," all authority was given to Jesus. So that's awesome. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers in high places. We can, under the unction of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the scriptures, we can say, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Depart from my neighborhood in Jesus' name. You have been defeated." Use your battle language with the enemy in the right context. Not on Facebook. People don't understand what you're talking about. Not on Instagram. "I bind the devil in the name of Jesus." Okay. Context, people. Use wisdom. Context. I'm just going to say it one more. Context, people. You get this, right? But when we're engaging with what God's doing with his lost children, we're not using conquest language. We're using language of invitation and reconciliation. When I was 17, I used to work at Mickey D's. Has anybody here worked at McDonald's? That's a great first job, isn't it? It wasn't my first job. But some of us, it takes us, we got to get a couple first jobs. But no, it was a great job. You learn how to serve people as quickly as you can and consistently as you can with another team of people who are also trying to go as fast as they can, for people who want to get stuff as fast as they can and as quality as they can for as little as they can spend. It's a challenging environment, but you learn a great work ethic. You learn how to work with a team. They do a good job training people, and that's their goal. That's McDonald's goal, is to give you a good, flexible schedule, all right? Help you how to be a good team player, and I'm grateful for it. I don't know why I'm talking about McDonald's. It wasn't in my notes. No, I'm just kidding. The reason why I brought it up was because when I would work at McDonald's, Then, as I do now, I loved Jesus. I loved Jesus. And McDonald's was a great place to get to talk to people about Jesus, to get to talk to my coworkers about Jesus. I didn't talk to the customers, you know, "Would you like fries with that? And would you like Christ with that?" I didn't do that. I worked with the people around me and I worked hard and we would hang out. And after the shift, oftentimes we would be going home And the Spirit of God would just say, okay, talk about me now. Talk about me now. And so we would just go from small talk. And if I had that sense from the Lord, then I would just say to them whatever would come to mind. But what I, at the time for me, something that this is not a shtick. It was just what I did at that time. But I would say, so you're an atheist. And they'd be like, what? And so either they would say, no, I believe in God, or blah, blah, blah. Or they'd be like, yeah, because here's my issue with God. But either way, it was just a great intro to have a conversation. But I'd just be like, so you're an atheist. And they'd be like, and so so that was, okay, talk about me now. So you're an atheist, huh? What? And I remember one time I was with a guy that I worked with. And so I didn't say it that night, actually. I didn't say, so you're an atheist. God said, talk a bit about me now. And I said, hey, I just want to let you know that God loves you so much, that you are so loved by God. I don't know if you know that, but there's a God, and I know him, and he is crazy about you, and he loves you so much. And I just want you to know that I felt like he wanted me to tell you that. I don't know if you have an inner encounter with him. I don't know what your relationship was with him. I don't know what you've heard about him, but I can tell you that right now, tonight, as we're driving down the road, there's like one thing on his mind, and it's that he wants you to know that he loves you. And he just started to weep. He just started to weep. And he became a follower of Christ. Now, that worked because that was what the Holy Spirit, that was what Dad and my big brother Jesus and Holy Spirit were doing in that young man's life in that moment. God was already pursuing him. And so I got an opportunity then to step in with what God was already doing and affirm something that God was already doing. And let me tell you what, it didn't cost me anything except for the risk of that maybe he might, what? Tell me to shut up or something. And it was so worth it. It was so beautiful. And I share this story because I think that when we often think about the church seeks to expand the family of God, when we think about evangelism and discipleship, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel a certain sense of pressure about that. Does that resonate with you guys? And maybe you've had that in your life where it's sort of like you need to get out there and you need to start a conversation and then you need to segue it into the four spiritual laws. And there's nothing wrong with all these tools. These are all beautiful tools. But you've been taught a certain way that you've got to do it, and you got to do a certain amount a week. You got to be faithful. You got to save the world. You got to do it now. You got to change the world. And it starts to feel a little crushing. Does anybody identify with that sense of pressure? And if you're not doing it, you're failing as a Christian. And there's always someone who's very happy to remind you of that. You are failing as a, I don't even know if you're saved. And I just want to speak to that and say, hey, I don't know who told you that. Maybe it was me at some point in my earlier zealous years. But I want you to know that you are part of a family. You are part of the family of God. And your call is to be in that family, to operate as a son or a daughter. And as you go, you are seeking for those opportunities to share with others and expand the family through a spirit of invitation, a spirit of hospitality, a spirit of reconciliation that we're called to, just like Jesus does. And the work that's happening, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are already pursuing that person. So you're not starting that thing. You're coming alongside of what God is doing because our Father is pursuing that son or that daughter that you're interacting with. Are you with me? The pressure is not on you. You and I are called to be faithful sons and daughters. So when he does give you that unction of like, hey, talk about me now, in whatever way that is in your context, the pressure is not on you in the sense of to bring about an outcome, because that other person actually has free will. Even God can't force an outcome when it comes to somebody choosing to follow him. So you and I are not on the hook to guarantee an outcome either. But what we are called to do is to seek to expand the family, to share, really at its base, that message, for the Father so loves you that he gave his only son, that you don't have to die, but you could live forever because he's crazy about you. And that's the kind of family that we are. I love Psalm 68:5-6. Speaking of God, he is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. Don't you love that? He sets the lonely in families. We're the kind of family that's looking around and seeing, does that person, do they got people? You ever notice when people don't have people? I mean, I think about right now, guys, we've been going through some crushing things together, right? This has been a, golly, I could cry. It's been a hard season for our family. We've had some crushing loss in this last few months. And I think to myself, I'm so glad that we're in this thing together. That people aren't just, I have a dear friend from my childhood, and his father died of cancer, and they didn't even throw him a memorial. They didn't even have a memorial. And it wasn't because they didn't love him. It's that their family was so dysfunctional that there's like nothing to do. They just didn't say goodbye together. Just bead not together does not compute. And of course, as you can imagine, my dear friend, he's a wreck. He's a mess. There's not healing. There's just denial and ongoing kicking the can down the road. And then I contrast that to what we're doing together as a family. And we're seeing people showing up. And I mean, I think about our dear friends, Kenji and Deborah. Y'all filled out like a 30 days of meals in like a day. That's amazing. And that's not just Christ Center. That's other parts of our church, our Christ family. But together, we're coming around. As we have pulled together to be with our dear friends who've lost their brother recently, to see the way that we surround one another and carry one another as we lose someone, we are a family. And that's what God has created it to be, is to hear and to see one another and go, if you're rejoicing, I'll rejoice with you. If you're grieving, I'll grieve with you. But I am with you. And you guys are doing that really, really well. We are doing that really, really well. We have each other. And God seeks that we would continue to expand that. He seeks that we would continue to invite people into that very real life that we live together. Not just in the great times, but in the hard times. I think that's one of the most compelling things that we have to offer. In fact, Jesus would agree. It says, the world will see your love for each other, and they'll know that the Father sent me. Jesus Christ staked his reputation on our love for each other. That people see that commitment over time, even when it gets boring. Even when it gets annoying. Even when it gets mundane. That we still love each other, that we still keep moving forward, that we know that God is with us. And you know what's amazing, of course? He refreshes it. He refreshes us. It doesn't stay boring and mundane. But you know what? Boring and mundane is an important part of life together, isn't it? And God, he seeks to expand that ongoing life together and let others come into it. You guys with me? Let me ask you this. Psalm 68 says he's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. He sets the lonely in families. I want to ask you this. God promises to adopt all of us into a family. Why is it so important that people are brought into family as opposed to only an organization or a state? Why is it important to God that we're adopted into a family? Right, just raise your hand. I'll call on you. Just yell it out there. What do you think? I mean, truly, I'm not looking for a perfect... Go ahead. Because family is personal. I agree.
Family is based on relationship. It's not based on being governed or being subservient to others. It's more
family is based on relationship as opposed to merely power structure. Yeah.
And living in the light.
Living in the light. Yeah.
It's irrevocable whether you like it or not.
I like that. You guys heard that. It's irrevocable whether you like it or not. You're in the family. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right back here.
You love them no matter what.
You love them no matter what. Yeah, come on, Steve.
I'll tag off of that. You need to receive love and give love.
You need to receive love and give love. I agree. I agree. There's something, Eddie?
He is a father.
Because he's a father. It doesn't get more basic than that, does it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... You're reading my notes, but that's a perfect segue. Yes, he is seeking to have sons and daughters. You know, I talked a little bit about the sense of pressure when we share the gospel, as it were, from a perspective different than inviting people into the family. Here's the thing, guys. We are sons and daughters. We're part of his family. He takes responsibility for us. When I'm really having a hard time, I constantly remind the Lord. One of my favorite scriptures is the one that says, he is faithful to complete the good work that he began in you. Right? In the fullness of time, and I augmented a little, in the fullness of time, when Joshua was yet a sinner, Christ died for him. And he's faithful to complete the good work that he'll begin in me. I am the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because my dad sent his only son, Jesus, so that I could be saved. My confidence is not in me and it's not in you. It's in him, which makes me trust you and makes me trust me to the degree that he's working. Are you seeing that? Everything has to do with that we have a dad, and that dad is so good. He's so good. And Jesus Christ is his firstborn son and demonstrates what it's like to be a part of his family. And that is where our confidence is. And guys, we've been walking with the Lord a lot. A lot of you here we've been together, right? We've been in this together. I mean, like I said, I've been here 20 years now. And a lot of you, number one, were here before I got here. And then a lot of you have been here the whole time with me. And some of you were born, and I got to be here when you were dedicated or dedicated you. Like, we've been in this together. We've been through hard times. We've been through good times. But you know what makes it all work? You know what makes me confident? Is not even our track record together, although I'm proud of it. But my confidence is in the fact that this is Dad's family. My confidence is not in that I can come in here and that if I do my job right, which, by the way, I work hard to do my job right. I take it serious. I take those responsibilities seriously, sometimes too seriously, to be honest. And I forget, wait a minute, this isn't based on how well I'm doing. This is based on our good, good papa, our good, good daddy, our good, good Abba, our pop, our dad, our holy dad. That is so committed that his family is going to live forever. He is so committed that his family is going to make it. He's so committed that no matter what happens, even if we die on the way earlier than what was planned, that he's going to redeem it all and we're going to live forever together as a family. Amen. And on the way there, we get to help expand his family. But my confidence is always in him. And that gives you and I the freedom to not take on ourselves pressures that we can't bear. You and I are never going to become the daddy. Which is great news. It's really good news. I think it's lovely that we use language that we're mothers and fathers in our city. And we use that language to say that we take responsibility for our city's problems together. That's good language, right? We think like mothers and fathers as a family in the sense of, what do mothers and fathers do? They make sure the lights stay on. They make sure that if the kids make messes, that we teach them how to not make messes, and they teach them how to clean them up, right? We take responsibility that nobody gets left behind. All good language. All good in the right context. Terrible in the fullness of the picture that there's one daddy, and he is our daddy, and he's God, and he's good. And we're all sons and daughters. And that puts us in a place, honestly, a place of ease, a place of confidence, a place of peace, a place of knowing that we're adored and we're safe, and although we might do hard things, we'll never do them alone. It means that we can actually, as Hebrews 4 says, we can rest from our own work and allow his love to reach our heart and allow ourselves to say, I don't know everything, but I know the most important thing. And that is, I have a father. There's a song about it, and he knows my name, right? He knows my every thought, and he hears me when I call. I have a father, and he is a good, good father, and I am part of his family. So even if I fail, he won't. Even if you fail, he won't. This is the family that we're part of. In fact, Second Corinthians 5:17 through 18 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We've been made new. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I don't have that one for you. Oh, I do. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Romans 8:15 says this. I don't have it for you, but I'm going to read it to you. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Let me just ask you guys, what's the name that you've called your earthly dad? Like, I call my dad Pop. Like, hey, Pop, how you doing? You know, my daughter, Autumn, well, lately she's been calling me Father, which is interesting, but she used to call me Papa. So I don't know. We might be fighting. I don't know. I'll go do some homework on that. But what do you call your dad? What did you call him? Pop?
Or dad.
Pop or dad? How about you, Abby?
Daddy-o.
I love it. I love it. Throw some more out there. Daddy-o. What do you call your dad?
Daddy.
Daddy? I love it. Yeah. It's not a test. It's just literally what you say. It's very personal, and I'm calling it out in front of everyone. It's like, reminds me of that joke, right? Most people hate public speaking. They fear it more than death. And Jerry Seinfeld was doing a little bit, and he said, so what that means is the majority of people would rather be in the coffin than speak at the funeral. And then extroverts like me are like, what is your special name for your dad? Go ahead, stand up. Tell everyone. I know, it's so mean. Yes, but what I'm saying, what this is saying is that, let me read it again to you. It says, Romans 8:15 says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back again into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Daddy-o. We cry, Pop, Abba, Papa, Daddy. That's my daddy. Are you seeing this? And this is the closeness, this is the reality of the family that we're expanding. So when we're interacting with other people, we're inviting people into the confidence that they can have that no matter what, they have access to our daddy. I think oftentimes we get confused and we actually are looking, because we are a family, it's true, but we're looking for things from each other, you know, that we're never going to get let down by our brothers and sisters. Most of the scriptures are how to handle it when you get let down by your brothers and sisters. But you know who will always be with you and will never let you down? Pop. Pop's got this. Pop's with you. And he'll help you how to walk through the thing where we let each other down, but it's his love in us. It's his love in us that causes us to be able to continue to be a family and to invite people into that family. Are you guys seeing that? I know that this is very basic. I know that I'm essentially saying the same thing over and over again. But I sense that we need to be reminded. I know I need to be reminded, because to be honest, I'm in a new season of life. I'm going to be 50 in January. All right? I know some of you guys are like 65 and you're like, yeah, whatever. But for me, it's a big deal. All right? I have more life behind me than I have in front of me. It's a weird feeling. It's a weird feeling to be a grandpa. It's a weird feeling to be in a season that I've never been in before. I don't quite know how I'm supposed to act at this point. I think I'm old enough that I should probably stop doing some of the dumb stuff I've always done that was funny, and now I think it's starting to look awkward. Like before, I was just sure it was funny. Now I'm like, yeah, but they're now laughing like literally at you, only at you now. And it's uncomfortable laughter now. Like it used to kill, and now you're killing them. And I wish I was joking right now, but I'm not. I'm having to find some new ways of doing things in a new season. And as I'm doing it, you know where I'm taking comfort? Is that I'm part of a family, and I can ask Pop. Hey, Pop, what is 50-year-old Josh supposed to be acting like? Like, how does he fit? What jokes are still, I think they're all funny, but which ones do you think are funny at this point? Like what? I said context earlier. Lord, what are the things where you're just like, eeh? You know? But you know what? He knows exactly what to do right now in this season of life. And I believe that as we're talking about, okay, if we're here and we're expanding the family, we're seeking to do that, we're being a family, my confidence gets to be in no matter where you are in the season of life you're in. Can you imagine what I was like when I was 13? I didn't have a microphone, but I was just as loud. My words per minute were even more. My confidence was much higher, actually. It was painful, but he was with me in that season, and he's with me in this season. He's with you in the season that you're in. And you're part of his family. And when our confidence is in Daddy, then we can turn to him and find that space and peace that becomes the message that just begins to flow out of us, and we invite other people in. Hey, guess what? There's room in his family for you, no matter what season of life you're in, no matter what context you're in. You belong in this family. And I'm a witness of that. I'm a son, and so are you. Amen? Amen? The church exists. The church seeks to expand God's family. Now, the only way this happens is through that spirit of adoption, whereabout we cry out, Daddy God. And this morning, in closing, I want to ask that God would refresh in us through the Holy Spirit that reality. You guys, would you be willing to do that with me? I just want to pray for us. I'm going to pray for us together. So just as a maybe an act of agreement. Can we just kind of open our hands up, open hands, open hearts, if you'd like? And I'm going to pray, and then we'll close. Jesus, you said to the disciples, go and wait until the Holy Spirit has come. And when you have been endued with power from on high, then go and be witnesses. You said that we would be baptized by your Holy Spirit with fire, with a new life from you in us. And that baptism, you said, was a baptism of sonship, of daughterhood, whereabout we can cry out, Pop, Daddy God, Daddy-o, Abba, Father, my Father. And this morning, we are asking that you do it again. That you do it again, Holy Spirit. That you would refresh us in who we are and who our Daddy is. Who our Father is. Holy Spirit, will you come and fill us again? Seal us again with the spirit of adoption, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.